Hi guys, you're listening to a special series of Tech at Work podcasts, A Power to Think exclusive, and I am Megha Vishwanath. With this podcast, we try to decode the impact of technology on the renewable energy sector while keeping sustainability at its core of business and policy changes. To talk more about this, I am now joined by Rahul Munjal, Chairman and Managing Director of Hero Future Energies on this podcast. Rahul, welcome and thank you so much for speaking to us.
Hi, Megha. Thanks for having me here. It's my pleasure.
Well, Rahul, in times like this, no interview is almost complete. I mean, it's almost like a mandate now that the first question has to be around the impact of COVID-19 and the impact of this lockdown that it has had on the economy. So let me start by talking to you about how it has affected business for you at HFE.
Yeah, you know, so I like to tell people that there are two problems the world is facing. The first problem is the health problem. The health problem will be taken care of sooner than later, which will be followed by a financial problem. And how deep, will it be a recession? Will it not be a recession? Will it be global? You know, there is a global recession coming, but how deep and how long, we don't know yet. It was surprising for me when I read in April, the salaried class across the globe had highest savings they've had in a number of decades. Thereby meaning there is no consumption that's happening globally, or it's trickling back very, very slowly. You know, that's on a very, very macro picture. But moving down to the power sector, the energy sector, you know, I will not talk about oil and gas. We already know what's happening in oil and gas and, you know, how the prices have plummeted. But moving to power, the power demand globally went down by 25 to 30% at the time of lockdown. And that's not only India, that's France, Germany, Japan, Spain, South Korea, Vietnam. You name it, the power consumption was down. That was bound to happen because the factories were closed. Nobody was manufacturing anything. The commercial offices were closed. Malls were closed. And now the 30% in India probably was a little worse because we went down to 30% in April. But we see it creeping back up. It's creeping back up, and that's a great news for us.
Okay. You know, you spoke about the hot week that we saw in North India. So at this point, let me tell for the benefit of our listeners that, you know, India's renewable energy ambitions are amongst the most aggressive in the world. Let me ask you, how has this pandemic impacted the overall sector? Could you paint that picture for us?
Sure. So India has had, you know, in COP21 in Paris a couple of years back, you know, we said we'll reduce our emissions by 33 to 35%, and we are largely following that. We haven't changed. If anything at all, we've actually increased our target to a 400 gigawatt capacity by renewable energy by 2030, which is an amazingly large number, and it's an extremely ambitious target. It's not going to be easy to get to, but where there is a will, there is always a way. Having said that, we've also seen the news coming out of Germany or Denmark. Globally, especially Europe, has also intensified its fight against carbon emissions or against climate change. So there is a lot of positive news coming out despite of oil prices being so low. And to add to that, you know, the best part is people are now talking about rebuilding sustainably. And I think that will happen. You know, you talk about bicycle lanes in cities like London or Paris. Everybody's saying, you know, can we now, people have actually gotten used to clean air over the past couple of weeks. I'm sure you would have seen, you know, I've never seen Delhi so good. I've never seen so many starry nights, one after the other. The Ganga's clean. So people are now addicted to clean air, I guess. Or they've at least seen that it's possible. So I don't think we'll go back from that.
Okay, you spoke about clean air in Delhi, and you are right. I mean, because I come under the essential service, I've been on the road pretty much every single day of all four phases of the lockdown because we have to do our jobs. And yes, blue skies have been a blessing, but you can almost see that going away as more and more cars are coming on the road. But since you also spoke about a lot of examples from the other global markets, can you assess a long-term impact or long-term implications? What does this mean going forward? One country might go ahead and say that, hey, let's have bicycle lanes and let's move towards sustainable way of living. But what does this mean for the rest of the world?
You know, so I want to take exactly what you said and make it, put it on its head, make it vice versa. So there is probably only a few countries who are not saying this, you know. So for that one odd kid who refuses to take orders, you know, you don't stop making rules, I guess, or you don't stop planning because you know somebody is going to steal what you're doing. So there is going to be those odd people who are cowboys and who decide to do what they want to, you know, but for that, the greater good, you know, Europe, Australia, India for sure, most parts of Asia, everybody is very keen to fight this climate change fight. So we might have the one-off nations who are not in agreement with the rest of the world, but I think we can ignore them. You know, the majority of the world is ready to take this battle head on.
Okay. Now, the World Economic Forum expects that the pandemic will impact India's ongoing energy transition. It is, however, unclear at this point whether we will witness a shift, a pause, or a radical change. What's your forecast?
Yeah. So I've not read what World Economic Forum has said, but going by what you're saying, you know, in the short run, I will agree, only this year itself, because of logistical problems and because of, you know, lockdown, etc., maybe the amount of renewable energy plants that we were implementing as a country, even us as a company, they will get delayed or pushed back for next year or the year after that. But in the long run, I don't think that will change because the fundamentals have not changed. You know, renewable energy, especially solar, is the cheapest form of energy in the world. If you don't even do it for the climate change reasons and you do it for economic reasons, you'd still want to put up more solar, you'd still want to put up more wind. Countries like UK have increased their renewable plans, where England gets absolutely no sun, or at least compared to India, it gets very little sun. Even there, renewables or solar is the cheapest form of energy. You see, so it's basically more of an economic decision rather than an emotional or ethical or a moral decision anymore.
All right. Rahul, you spoke of a 90,000 crore package that is going to enable liquidity in the sector and a delay in implementation of some of the plans that you had set in place in the same answer. So let me quickly ask you before we move ahead, will you have to readjust some of the milestones or some of the targets that you had set for yourself?
Yes, no doubt. We will have to. So in the short run, let's say 1 to 2 years, we will have to readjust and plan a lesser output or, you know, lesser growth. But in the long run, in the next 5 years, nothing changes. If anything, we're more bullish of new opportunities coming up over the next 5 years. But we are bearish over the next year and a half or two.
All right. Speaking of long-term impact, we are seeing large IT companies and other commercial players shifting to a work-from-home model. Do you anticipate a dip in demand, or does this put your model at risk in any way, considering that there would not be a need, or at least that's what the forecast says as of now, for those many commercial spaces, say, in the next 5 years?
You know, so to put things in perspective, commercial demand in India is 9%. The 9% of India demand is commercial, and that 9% is divided into malls, movie theaters, I guess, other shopping areas, as well as offices. So the impact on offices, I agree with you. You know, we will see a more increased work from home phenomena going forward. We in our own company will follow it a lot more. You know, the world was actually already moving towards work from home. It just needed a booster, and it got this booster. So there will be a reduction in demand from commercial offices, but that demand will shift to households. So if somebody is working from home the entire day, you know, when they were not in their homes, their ACs weren't on. Now, if they're sitting in their homes and working, their ACs will be on, lights will be on, and all kinds of energy consumption will take place. So it'll be a shift in demand rather than a decrease in demand.
So would this shift in demand impact your financial liquidity? Would that be one of your biggest challenges going forward? Or would you list out something else altogether as your challenge in the next 5 years?
Yeah, so let's just, this demand, as I said, the whole commercial space is 9%. So, you know, that if that 9% goes down to 8%, I don't think any heavens are falling. Does our risk perception change, or does our funding mechanism change, or does our risk profile change? Probably does. The way we work, how much digitization we do, how much work from home we do, what is the new normal for us, all that changes. You know, of course, we've all learned a great deal. And, you know, I always say never waste a good crisis. And this is as bad or as good a crisis that one could have probably imagined or even not imagined. So now that it's here, how best are we going to make use of this is the question. So internally, as a business model, nothing changes from the top of it. In the bottom, inside the company, everything changes. I hope that answers your question.
It does. But the fact that you spoke about a dip from 9% to 8% in terms of the pure demand, it seems like just a 1% dip. But when you function at a scale and size like your sector, we know that that 1% accounts for a lot. And of course, as you said, that energy is here to stay. So let me ask you, when you say that things, everything changes for you at an organization level, what does that mean? What is going back to the drawing board and looking at the blueprint at this time, at this point mean?
Yeah. You know, and I've said this before as well. So let's talk about what is the future now. You know, there are two worlds which we are facing. And, you know, you've heard the cliches of new normal, etc. So what is the new normal? According to me, the world is divided into two parts. One is before the vaccine comes out and we're all vaccinated. I call that the social distancing era. And one is the post-vaccination era. Let's talk about the social distancing era. In the social distancing era, we'll see a lot of contactless, physically distant world. You know, we'll talk about, you know, I was reading about movie theaters in Dubai, which have become where you go to, you know, outdoor movie theaters, you sit in your car, watch a movie and come back. So you'll see a lot of these creativity. You know, human beings are extremely, extremely innovative. And in this hour of need, you know, people are going to cafes and they're sitting with hats, which are 1 meter long. And, you know, they have pool noodles, social distancing people. So all kinds of things will happen. So while we are in a socially distant world, it'll be very different from a world which is post vaccine era. The other thing I believe what is going to happen very quickly in the world is we're going to come out with certain tests, which are rapid tests. And these rapid tests will help us greatly with the economy, especially because, you know, you'll be able to get a result within 20 minutes. And, you know, today the results that we have, today the tests that we have are not as accurate as the ones which are coming out now in the next generation. So these tests will, you know, will let you, you can go to your place of work or you can go to your factory, get tested, you're clean, go in, work your day, come out, you know, no problem. You can go take a flight. Before you take a flight, you get it tested, you're okay, sit on the plane and travel. So I think we are moving towards an era where we'll all be tested many times over the course of a week, month, or a couple of weeks.
Well, in a very philosophical way, if I can put it, I think we're all being tested pretty much every second of the day, given that we're in the middle of these unprecedented times. But Rahul, for listeners who don't live and breathe renewable energy and understand everything about this space, let me quickly ask you to sum up. If I were to ask you, what is the silver lining for HFE at this point, what would you say?
Okay. So the silver lining, not only for HFE, for renewable energy is... You know, renewable energy, we are able to produce when the sun is out or when the wind blows. So fortunately, because when the wind blows and the sun is out, we get something called a must run status. A must run status means if the sun is out and we produce, we have to sell that power to the grid and the grid to the electricity company and the electricity company to the end consumer. Same for wind, same for solar. So there is no back down. So when the energy consumption in India went down 25 to 30%, they backed down the coal plants, but not the renewable energy plants because they can't. If you back us down, you don't know when the wind is coming back, right? So because of the must-run status, of the 30% of reduction in energy demand in the country, what came to us was less than about between 5 and 10%. So we weren't impacted as badly. And going forward, I think that will be the case. And because, you know, everybody wants a clean energy and everybody wants a clean environment, I feel we will, even if there is a reduction in demand, I don't think renewable energy will be affected that badly.
All right. Before I wrap up this podcast and this conversation, Rahul, define a post-COVID-19 world for us from your lens. What would your new normal look like?
Yeah. So I think my new normal, let's put it, so my new normal will be, I think companies will become a lot more financially resilient. Mm. You know, somebody once told me, sadly, most of M&A happens in India because of mortality. And that's a sad truth. If the recession is deep and long, there will be a lot of pain. There will be a lot of M&A opportunities. I don't know if there'll be many buyers, but there will be a lot of sellers for sure. Not only an Indian scenario, in a global scenario. So we will see a lot of M&A happen. I am bullish that we will also be a part of somebody who's there acquiring companies, trying to make us stronger, financially more resilient. And one other thing that we've noticed is because work from home has worked so well, we will have access to global human capital where you can create virtual teams and work regardless of which part of the world the human capital is sitting in. So I see that happening to us sooner than later.
Well, you spoke about as long as the sun is out and the wind blows, you're here to stay. But I think that statement stands true for almost everybody. As long as the sun is out and wind blows, we're all here to stay. And hopefully a post-COVID-19 world would bring about a few positive changes in the way we've all been going about things. Rahul, thank you so much for speaking to us and taking out time and decoding what the COVID-19 impact was like on the renewable energy sector. Thanks a lot for listening. You were listening to a special series of Tech at Work podcast, a Power to Think exclusive. Thanks a lot for tuning in.